Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. The enemy of liberty is war. We are at war, whether you like it or not. I will be training people to use the firearm and also self-defense. Those of you who are out there who need to learn how to use a firearm properly, we will be teaching it over a 6-week period. And you will be able to be very efficient at handling a firearm and also self-defense, hand-to-hand combat, which I think is very, very important because right now there's so much is going on and it's scary. Your government, yes, your government will do anything. No one is safe when it comes to your government. And I'm not surprised at all as what's going on. But before I bring in my first guest, I want to talk a little bit about Jessica Gray. Jessica Gray was a 30-year-old young lady who we believe was shot down in cold blood. That was on December 1st, 2019. We have yet to find her body. A puddle of blood was found inside the house. A puddle of blood was found outside the house. And a puddle of blood was found in Willie Lark Jr. automobile. All DNA of Jessica Gray. The problem is we have not found the body. We are still looking for the body. And those of you who are out there, I'm offering a $1,500 reward for anybody who can lead me to the body of Jessica Gray. And those of you who are out there who want to donate to up the reward, you can mail a check to Banco, B-A-N-C-O, address 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. Whatever amount that you receive will go towards the reward and finding the body of Jessica Gray. She left behind two children, two beautiful children. And unfortunately, her mother, their mother, is no longer alive. So you can mail a check or you can go to PayPal, my PayPal, as the Banco site, and go to B-A-N-C-O, Banco. And we have a PayPal there, but you can also mail a check to BANCO, 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan. We must bring Jessica Gray home. They refuse to bring out the drones to look for her body. They refuse to even search for her. They refuse to do anything that would help us find Jessica Gray. I just want to say this. On yesterday, we had a tremendous protest at Lake Isle Juvenile Home or School, whatever you want to call it, led by Marcina Cole. She did a remarkable job. I'm going to have her on the show. After I have my friend from, I believe it's Portland, Oregon. He's going to be on first, him and his mother. And we're going to talk about my TI family. I love my TIs. My TIs are people where things are happening. And most people will not believe what is happening to them. They say all the time, they're making this stuff up. Our United States government would never do this to them. Why would they pick them? Well, why not pick them? This is what they do. This is what our government have turned to right now. Right now, we're at war. We have a president in there who don't care nothing about nobody but himself. Only thing he care about is himself. And he got a lot of followers. He got 33% of this country actually following him. And he also has some loose change laying around where he pick up other votes. People slave from him. One thing people don't quite understand, racism sells. Racism sells here in these United States of America. And Trump is the author of racism. Those of you who are out there who don't understand exactly what's going on, the government here in these United States are torturing people. They're using all kinds of microwaves. Through the satellites, they're trying to control your mind. That's what they do. They try to control you. They even use the news media. See, a lot of times people don't know how to watch the news. You have to dart in and out with the news because some of the stuff they say is true, but you got to cipher through it to find out what is true. That's how you deal with the news, because they're trying to program your mind to think a certain way. And 9 out of 10 times, they are successful. That's why they call it the news. But we're in a war here. Those of you who are out there who don't believe that the T.I. family has been targeted by your government, your day will come. You can ask the Iraqi army what happened to them. They cannot even explain why they dropped their arms and surrendered to a small group of soldiers in comparison to them. They have no idea why they did it. They have no idea why they did it. Maybe you could tell me about it. Maybe you can. Remember what happened in Cuba, where your own United States citizens, they used the torture program on them. And even today, they're having trouble not only thinking, but living. These same people. And it was done by your government. We could sit here and talk about this all day and all night. You're going to have people say, oh, they wouldn't do that. They would do anything. Every single person is expendable. Everybody, myself, even the president, he's expendable. There's a force bigger than him operating in your government. So you better be aware of what's happening around you. I tell you this, we are at war. Get your thoughts together. Do what you need to do. Stand together. See, there's strength in numbers. This is what we don't get. There's strength in numbers. We can win if we learn to work together. There's nothing too hard. I would wish nobody to be a target individual. I wouldn't wish that on nobody, because they control you every kind of way. And then the average person do not know what is going on in their body. It can't be explained, because usually if you get sick, you can explain what's going on in your body. Your stomach hurt. Your head hurt, your arm hurt. But when you become a target individual and you tell people that things are happening, nobody wants to believe you. And women's, they be getting attacked sexually. Men's also, not just women, men also. So we have to do what needs to be done in order to protect each other. I have a special hour for my T.I. family. who I love dearly. On that note, I'm going to bring in my good friend from Portland, Oregon, and he's going to tell you his story. He has a story to tell, and I believe his mother is going to be on today, and she will be able to verify some of the things that he was saying, and it's hard to believe, you know. I understand. When I first heard some of this stuff back in 2008, I believe, you know, I said, no, our government wouldn't destroy nobody like that. They wouldn't destroy someone's family, wouldn't destroy someone's children. But then I learned all these years, 12 years, they would do anything. And on that note, I want to bring in my good friend from Portland, Oregon, Mr. Terry Brewer. Are you there? Talk to me.
Yes, I'm here. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I want to tell you, we got raving reviews last week. We went up another 10,000 people who actually downloaded our program. So we're betting 1,000. See, my goal is to make sure people listen and understand exactly what is going on. See, you don't know what's going on unless it's happening to you, you see. So our job is to explain it to them. And we have to give them the information. But what they do with that information is on them. So, Terry, talk to me. What do you have to talk to me about today? You can start any way you want, and you can bring your mother in anytime you feel comfortable bringing her in. I'm ready to hear what she got to say also.
Okay. First of all, I think it's very great for all of you out there listening that the Reverend is jumping into this subject. This is a subject that's worldwide. People are being targeted all over the U.S. I did the math a couple of years ago. In the U.S. alone, I came up with 3 million victims of these crimes against humanity, 7 million in the world total wide. Now, really think about that. 3 million people, as you're sitting and listening to the show, are being tortured here in the U.S. with microwave weapons, laser weapons, frequency weapons. Now, this isn't designed to do anything for humanity to benefit other than to experimentation. What they really want to do is to control every human on the planet. Every government, it seems to, around the world, have collaborated on this crime against humanity because one of the first cases I ever read about was a multimillionaire. He was a targeted individual, and he went from one country to another to another to another to try to get away from this crime. The truth is he couldn't escape the crime because it followed him from one place to another to another to another, and eventually he came back to the U.S. And he, as far as I know, the last I read about his case, he was in very poor health. And this is a man that's very rich to do, and he was targeted in each country he came from. That goes to show you that these people, these directed energy weapons, microwave, lasers, all sorts of different frequency weapons, plasma, these are all things of the future. This isn't science fiction. I mean, many people talk about aliens. I mean, the fact is just the math alone shows you that aliens are possible. There has to be other living, sentient beings out there. It even talks about it in the Bible if you really want to get technical. It talks about this type of stuff, too. It just doesn't talk about it in the way that you would think. One of the things is over time, back when these programs started in the 1930s, what they were doing is to destroy lives, Jewish lives, and they were quite effective at it. And so when we brought this stuff over during Project Paperclip, these illegal programs and stuff, we adapted them into our country too, just the same as happened to Russia and the UK and different countries that took these scientists and stuff in from the Nazis. That's where a lot of these programs came from and whatnot. So it's my belief from my research that this actually came from Germany back in the 1930s. They used it to discredit businessmen, destroy lives, except when the directed energy weapons came into play after World War II, they have to develop this technology. They found out that they can control people's minds. They can compel people. I was told by somebody that worked for the FBI, he no longer does, he told me that one of the biggest riots in U.S. history was actually pushed over the limit with frequency. So imagine having a peaceful protest in one of our major cities, our government now has the ability to just push a button and they can incite the entire crowd to go out and get nasty if they want and destroy and destruct. Now, grant you, frequencies don't seem to work on everybody, but this problem is rising and rising. So I want to go back into a little bit to tell you how this started. In January of 2015, I remember this very distinctly because it's the first time I ever felt this feeling in my entire life. I was sitting on my couch. I was waiting for my girl to get home, and I started feeling like I was floating. I mean, literally floating in the air. That was the first time that I can recollect that I knew directed energy weapons was being used on me. I'm going to open this up. I'm going to open my phone up to a speakerphone now. I'm going to let my mom speak to you guys for a little bit so you can hear what she has to say.
I'm doing my – okay. Go ahead. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. How you doing?
Yes. Can you hear my mom?
I can hear.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah. There you go. Talk to them for a little bit and tell them or hold it up to your head.
Well, when Terry started telling me these different things that was happening to him, I didn't believe it because even in the middle of the night when he would call me up and say, "You've got to see this, Mother," I would go over there, and, of course, they would not do anything while I was there. But eventually, as we were doing shopping and stuff together, going to church, these people started doing things with me there and knowing what they were doing. Well, I went to a Goodwill store one day with him, and he stepped out to make a phone call, and I had five or six guys come around where I was looking at books and start taking them right out from under me and throwing them out. They were on a big table. But when he come back in, they quit. And it was just strange to watch these people, what things they would do. A Christian bookstore was empty except for him and myself. And here came a whole bunch of people just talking to themselves and messing around. And then they all left. So they do all kinds of strange things that they've started doing stuff, and Terry told me he would go in for a psych evaluation because that's what I was told, that he was nuts. So when it came to him going and being taken in, there was an ambulance that came to get him, but the police had their weapons drawn, big guns, rifles they had, and stuff standing there. And I had Terry stand behind me, and I told him he wasn't going volunteer anyplace until those weapons were put away because he was of no harm to anyone. Now, he went down to the hospital. They kept him a few days. I went down and visited him. And when he came out, they have given him some medication.
Haidol.
What?
Haidol.
Haidol is the medication that they gave him. And in walked my son, drooling and acting like a weird person. And I took him out to the emergency room at the hospital. And they told me that he should never have been given that medication. And they took him off of it right there, and he was not acting like he had been on the medication. So they'll do anything to get you to look bad.
So I want to fill in a little bit of what she's telling you is my mother in the beginning, she didn't believe what I was saying, And so she asked me to voluntarily go get a mental health evaluation, which I'm in sound mind and body. I figured it's about as long as my mom is thinking that and a few other people, I would go in and get a mental health evaluation. So what happened this day is they called the cops out, and they came out, and they brought assault weapons. Now, you got to think about it. I'm 55 years old. They're trying to tell people I'm schizophrenia. Well, schizophrenia comes on between the age of 14 and 28, so I'm too old for that, so that lie's not going to buy any ground. So when I get into the ambulance, they have a what's called street theater. They do these little skits. That's what was done for my mom and the public, of them showing up with assault weapons and stuff. It's all designed to make the person look as bad as possible for everybody around them. So they showed up with assault rifles and stuff, and my mom feels that she's got to protect me, and they finally put them away, and I go down to this place. Not only does the nurses start realizing in the mental health facility why I'm in there, that I shouldn't be there, that I'm not, but the doctor persists on giving me Haldol. Now, this is the reason why I'm stepping back in and talking to you about this, because this is what the emergency room doctor told us. She told us that the drug Haldol makes people drool, see things, and look crazy. They will actually see things that aren't there. They will actually hear voices that aren't there, and they will start drooling uncontrollably. The emergency room doctor told us both that this drug is meant and was produced and manufactured to make people look mentally ill, that it does not help anybody, and it should not be on the market. Now, this is a mentally not a mental health doctor, but an emergency room doctor that has dealt with thousands of people, and she said this drug, she's watched them ruin life after life over and over. Now, in every instance, they try to make a targeted individual look like they're mentally ill. Because think about it. If you think somebody's mentally ill, you're not going to listen to them. You're going to think they're crazy. That's how they get neighbors to get involved in these crimes, how they get family members to involve in these crimes. It's just, in my case, I'm a very persistent person in getting my point across. Like I told you, one of the incidents she was getting ready to mention, I believe, is when we went to church. These people can get into people's heads so bad. The former pastor's wife of the church sat behind me during a church sermon and literally shook my seat all the way through the sermon. This is how well they can get to people. Even the best of people, their lives seem to penetrate into their minds, so they'll participate in these crimes. Here's my mom to explain some more to you.
At the church, it was a very unhealthy place to be, because I convinced Terry to go and get to know the Lord and get baptized. And on the day that he was baptized, it was 2 weeks after I had lost my other son. And the people who were involved in the crime would turn around and look at me and my husband. He couldn't figure out what was going on. But they made faces at us and grinned at us and laughed because he was up there getting baptized. And I lost people who believed me, and I was a leader of a addiction class for 17 years there. And they told stories to my friends and stuff, to where people didn't want to have anything to do with me because they figure I'm as crazy as my son. Mm. And it's terrible what they do.
Wow.
And
then what finish telling me about what happened after he got baptized. What happened then?
After he got when he went down into the tank to be baptized, they had one of the perps there to baptize him. And they made sure that he knew it was one of the perps doing that. And after that, he had been helping feed the homeless and things at the church. He was literally just pushed out of the church. It got worse. I could sit anywhere in that building and people would stand up and look at me, and you just knew that they were the perps, the way they acted. And as I kept believing more in my son, then some of the people, even pastors that I had talked to and stuff, would not come near me. They would take off and go a different direction. They quit talking to me. And this is all because of what they were doing. And it really can tear a family apart. My husband has been in the middle of this, but he refuses to believe what's going on. And it's, you know, so he's got one believer and one not, to where he can't talk about things that happen. Now, the worst, my husband doesn't want to hear it anymore. He's just, you know, he's not believing him. But here, 2 or 3 weeks ago, the worst thing that they've done to me, and believe me, I know that they've heated me up and stuff, but I was sitting on my couch, and my right side of my face all of a sudden got really hot. And I thought, what on earth? And then it dawned on me, because my whole side started going numb up my, or down my legs and on down through my hand, my arm out to my hands. And it was a horrible feeling, and I knew that I needed to get out of that window in a hurry. And I went over to where I usually sit, and it, I had some protection there from their weapon. And I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, I didn't want this to start happening all the time. And thank God they haven't done that to me since. But it gave me a taste of the bad stuff that they do to Terry on a daily basis. Because I believe it when he says his stomach is messed up, that he feels like he's being cooked all night. Because I get, you know, it's no fun. These people have no mercy. I'll be 75 years old next month. And so they don't care how old you are or how young you are. And I've seen the results of them putting their, well, they do it to the cat and the dog. He has a cat and a dog. And you can tell when they have been microwaved, because their attitudes change. And you can see that sometimes you go to reach down to pet the dog, and she loves me to come over, and she'll withdraw from me, that somebody has been doing something to her that she doesn't trust me. And
wow.
Anybody that is being tormented by these people, I just pray that they know the Lord and will ask for his protection, because it's no fun, and nobody but the Lord is going to help us get this mess taken care of. And just put the blood of Jesus over you and the armor of God, and have him direct you as to what to do. I firmly believe that if he's not participating in help against this, that it's going to be a terrible thing to try to get rid of.
Absolutely.
I'll let you talk with him.
Before you leave, let me ask you a question about your husband. How is he taking this? Is he taking this pretty tough? He don't want to hear about it. He don't want to talk about it because he don't really believe it's happening. Is that correct?
Well, that's his attitude now, but when it was first started, he would go out fishing with my son, and he would see people come up and walk around and follow them in cars and all kinds of things. He even walked up to one guy and asked him, are you a sheriff or something, going to give us a ticket? I mean, at first he did, but then he decided, you know, too many more things were happening. Terry says, they're hurting my head. I've got burn marks on my body and different things. And I just don't think he wanted to try to deal with it. And he just turns it off. And he does not want Terry, you know, he can come over and stuff, but he doesn't want Terry talking about this subject. Because this is a huge thing in Terry's life. And yes, he talks about it a lot.
Do you think he might be just afraid, your husband?
I don't know. He might be afraid that some of this stuff. He has told Terry a couple of things that's happened. And Terry says he's pretty sure that it has been as a result of these people. But he doesn't tell his father that, because his father will deny it.
Yes,
you know, but we're
yes.
pretty sure that at times he's been affected by it also.
Well, that's the way it sounds to me, because it sounds like, you know, he don't want to hear anything that has to do with being a target individual. So
right.
that's So that's what I'm thinking. He just don't want to hear about it. And a lot of times when you don't want to hear about it, these things are happening to you, but you can't explain it. That's how I look at it. And a lot of times people can't explain what is going on with them. You know, no matter what, they can't explain it. So and maybe in his case, he don't want to have anything to do with it, because he sometimes you'd be so terrified that you don't think that, you know, that maybe what Terry is telling him and what Terry is saying happening to him is the truth. I know that they can do this to anybody. It don't make a difference who you are, what you are. Terry was talking about the guy that the millionaire, the guy that had all the money. It don't make no difference how much money you have or how little money you have. These people, and I said earlier when I came on, that everybody is expendable. I don't care who you are, who you think you are, you're expendable to this government. On that note, let me talk to Terry again. I want to say something to Terry real fast, and then I got to bring on my good friend, Marcino Cole. Go right ahead. Terry, talk to me.
Hello?
Yes, Terry. This is what I want to know. When was the last time, as you know, they can attack you by satellite. They don't need to be around the corner no more. They don't need to have that handheld device no more. They could do it by satellite now if they wanted to. But when was the last time you were attacked?
I'm attacked. If you want to know the truth, I'm attacked 24/7 throughout the day. I'm considered a high target. But the last severe attack was about a week ago when I got hit in the midsection. And during this type of attack, you don't have long because it's quite intense. It messes with the head and my gut at the same time. And I knew I only had minutes to get my computer and stuff off. I believe it happened on a Tuesday. And what it was is they hit me in the head and the stomach simultaneously. And within about 15 or 20 minutes, I was literally unconscious from the attack. That's how severe it is. I've been hit in my computer, literally where they hit me in the stomach, they dropped me to the ground. And I told you guys the last time I was on that when I went to the hospital, I didn't mention anything about my stomach, but they had the emergency room people take x-rays to see what type of damage they'd done. They've hit me in the leg so hard that I couldn't stand for long periods of time. They can give people headaches. They, like you said earlier, they attack. It is quite often that they attack people's genitals. They attack the feet.
Mm-hmm.
They attack the limbs. It takes about 2 years for them to be entrained on somebody. And what they do is I've learned that they research and they map your nervous system. And once they get done with that, that's when the real fun starts, according to the insiders, because that's when they can start giving you muscle ache, manipulate your body, and do a lot more things to you. William Binney has stated that they can see through people's eyes and hear through their ears. Now, he's not the only one that stated that. If they really have this technology, nobody's safe, guys. The NSA already came out and said every single call, every single email you guys send out is being looked over. Google came out and said every single word that you send through Google is being gone through. Microsoft said every single word. Everything you do in life now is being scrutinized. Every little thing. Think about this. This is something that's going to be added to this crime, so I want to say this. This is very important. Our leading people in our government want to start what's called pre-crime. That means if you think about committing a crime, they want to start putting people in jail previously to you committing it. This is something you guys should, because think about it. They're trying to make people look mentally ill and stuff through this crime of gang stalking, which is the cover story to test directed energy weapons and stuff about it. But think about it. If they go to this pre-crime thing, then anybody that thinks about pre-crime, you talk about conspiracy theories and something else, they're going to shut it down. As a matter of fact, I just got a hold of a document that's from the FBI, which is talking about they want to start shutting down your right to talk about conspiracy theories. They want to start making it illegal for you to be able to have a shows like what we're on right now and you guys listening to us. And believe me, if we don't stand up, these rights will be taken from us one by one. If you go over the Constitution and look, all the changes they made, they are slowly taking away our freedom of speech, our rights to bear arms and stuff. Now, a lot of people are going to stand up and say this isn't true. I'm telling you guys, these people are very smart. They're doing this in steps. It's like with this virus and everything else. These are all politically motivated steps throughout our society and our history that have been done to get to the final end game, and that is for one group to control the planet, to control all the people on it. Look up the Georgia Guidestones. That's part of these programs too. They want five. It's written in 8 different languages, and when they're done with this, what it states is they want 500 million people on the planet. I know everybody out there can do the math. That's 7.5 billion people almost. If I remember right, around 7 billion that's going to have to be gone. These are the type of things that your elite, your powers that are running the world want you to do. And if we don't stand up, we the people is the biggest statement in our Constitution. We the people, we can stop this. We can stop it worldwide. But if we let these crimes keep going, they're not going to stop. You guys should really thank the Reverend for doing shows like this because he's bringing facts to you. He's bringing problems to you that are need to be addressed on a basis that are unbelievable. If this isn't addressed soon, think about it. If they can start controlling people's minds on a massive basis, I talked to you about the active denial system, which is a microwave device. They can use it on one person, 100 people, or 1,000. The microwave auditory effect, they can put voices in your head. Imagine you going to the store and you're not thinking about it, and they know you hate Cheerios, but they put the thought in your head with a sound and say, get Cheerios, and you get home and you're like, why did I buy Cheerios? These are the type of things that they do with you guys. People complain all the time. You guys go to the store, you see your cell phones, you see all these messages popping up on your phone. That all has to do with the technology they're using. Some is reading minds. Some of it's listening to you talk through your cell phone. They're giving you what you want, but they're also turning you to what they want. You guys, you're human beings, your individuality. God gave us our rights for a reason. He made us all individual for a reason. He doesn't want us to be controlled by anybody, but he wants us to obey by the laws and rules that govern us. Well, guys, I'm telling you right now, the people behind these crimes, they're breaking the very laws they helped build and make, and we got to make them stick to it. I'm going to tell you something right now, and I'm not kidding. Every one of you listening out there, it will be your child next. It will be your husband. It will be your wife. It will be your granddaughter. It will be your grandkid. It will be anybody in your family. Could be your best friend next. Guys, we have to start standing up against corruption and make this world into what God meant it to be in his dreams and his vision. He gave us free will. Well, let's use our free will to do the right things and get rid of this corruption and crime.
Absolutely. Listen, Carrie, your mother was perfect. I love what she was saying, and she verified some of the things that you had told me before that was happening to you, and I really appreciate that. I also want you to keep a close watch on your father. He don't like to hear this stuff, but it's happening whether he like it or not. So you have to also make him aware, not you. You got to let your mom do it. Let him know these things are actually happening. Well, and it's there. They're happening, and we have to be aware of it. But look, I got another 90 seconds for you. So in 90 seconds, tell us what you want us to know.
Okay, I want you guys to know that she mentioned my brother. My brother's death was a direct result of this crime. I watched them follow him around. I watched them do things to him. He shut down and started burning himself out. So what I want to get you guys to do is, whether you believe me or not, I have not met one person that hasn't spent 1 hour researching this crime and they didn't change their mind and think it's real. If they spend an hour, so I'm asking every listener out there, Spend 1 hour. Go out and look up directed energy weapons abuse, gang stalking, government corruption. Help us end these programs because we, the people, we can make it change and we can make it better with God standing behind us. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you so much, Terry. And tell your mom I said thank you, thank you, thank you, because she, see, that's what we need. We need someone to verify some of the stuff that is saying, because people are quick to say that that didn't happen or that's not happening. That's just his imagination. But your mom, she, and I know she's an honorable person, and I love what she was saying, and it also gives us all, not just you, credibility, but it also gives me credibility, because I'm saying the same thing that you're saying, that this stuff is for real, this stuff is happening today, and it's probably going to end up to happen to your family member if we don't get on our toes to do something about it. Terry, thank you so much. Let's talk during the week, and let's keep in touch and know what we're doing. And tell your mom, thank you so much for just being on the line. Beautiful, Terry. Thank you.
I will.
All right. That was my good friend, Terry, from Portland, Oregon. And now I'm going to bring in my good friend, Marcina Cole. Yesterday, she had a major, major protest in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and about this young man, Cornelius Frederick, who was actually murdered. And he was only 16 years of age, but I'm going to let her talk about him and see where we at and deal with it. Let's bring in my good friend, Marcina Cole. Marcina Cole, are you there? Talk to me.
Yes, I am. Thank you for allowing me to speak on your show today. I'm tired, when it came down to putting this rally together with the help of many, another fight against the injustice toward the children, toward black people, brown folks. When it comes down to youth, I am there for all youth to save our youth and justice for Cornelius. You briefly said what had happened to Cornelius Frederick at Lakeside Academy. They call it academy like it's a school, but it's really for youth that have some behavior problems, and they're supposed to be helping them when behind closed doors they're being physically abused. And this is not just in the state of Michigan, but it's across the country that a lot of people aren't aware of it, what goes on behind the closed doors. And it's very profitable. A sequel that, owns youth and family services. This is one of their residential facilities. And what had occurred with Cornelius, he threw a sandwich. The dates were, like, depending on what news media that you read. But the date where he had threw a sandwich and where a staff had set on his chest for 10 minutes, and Cornelius said, "I can't breathe," until he just, he was unconscious and got into a cardiac arrest and died May 1st. And that date was on the 29th of April, and he died May 1st at Bronson Hospital in Kalamazoo, Michigan. It's unfortunate what happened to these children, and now Cornelius, me being a mother, my heart bleeds when I hear about another child from the hands of a person took their life as if he wasn't worth anything. This is what this facility did. This is what they do when it comes down to immigrant children and put them locked up and physically abused and raped. The system has failed us, Reverend Pinckney. It has failed the youth, it has failed everybody that's out here fighting for justice. And we continue to fight for justice. This is not over because this case has gone nationally. It has gone nationally. The Michigan Center of Youth Justice in Ann Arbor had a petition drive that was going on for 24 hours last Thursday. A number of things have been going on with people across this country, like over 40,000 people know about Cornelius. They didn't know it before. They know about it now because they used the hashtag with social media and Twitter and other sources, podcasts, all that and above. I wasn't aware about this case until later. There was a prayer vigil after maybe about the 4th or 5th of May or whatever, the first week when he had passed those days, which was really traumatic for his family. And the young people who were there who actually witnessed Cornelius being murdered in front of their eyes. So, and I want to say this, the children that were there, they ran for their lives in the community when that had happened. And obviously the police had came to scoop up the children. So we deal with a lot, and we want to save lives for the youth, for the black man that's being continuously racially profiled, police brutality, and murder. So we deal with that for years. But we've got people across this country and the world are finally listening to our cries for justice. They're taking away our family members, our friends, people that we don't know. They're taking people's lives away because of the color of their skin and targeting black males. So we have many fights, Reverend Pinckney. We've got the COVID-19 that just, you know, it comes down to the racial disparity with COVID-19. It's more blacks and brown people getting COVID-19 than other races, and that's peculiar to me. I heard the gentleman earlier about, you know, different things that people know, conspiracy theories, that people not trying to hear that. I was attacked on Facebook because I mentioned, I said, are they spraying up in the air, you know, and targeting black communities? Because a lot of us had gotten the COVID-19, and a lot of people had died. And I say this because where Cornelius was at Lakeside Academy, he was tested positive during the autopsy. About 37 children were tested positive of the COVID-19, and 9 staff members were tested positive. But we got a situation, and it's almost similar to, like, the prisons. And to me, it's a jail. I don't care. It's on the outside, cabins or whatever. But inside, we're talking about a haven for physical abuse and not getting the so-called care that Sequel says that they get, and that's not true. They're making millions and millions of dollars, okay, the state-run facility, making millions and millions of dollars to have these children at the residential housing. And we say enough is enough, and we're going to continue to fight. We want to resonate our voices and let us, you know, let people know that we're out here fighting not for Cornelius. He's not here anymore, but our voice is going to be heard across this country that we say no, no restraint. No more restraint. In fact, you know, I really don't like the fact that these kids are being pulled away and going to various states away from family and no one that they could really connect to, you know, that really cares for them inside those walls of these group homes. You know, if it's not effective, I say shut it down. Mm-hmm. Lakeside Academy, we say shut it down. Sequel, we don't want any of their facilities here in the state of Michigan, shut it down. Across the country, people have these residential homes, and they're making tons of money, and the children are suffering, and they are scared, you know. And so there have been cases all across the country with this abuse that has been going on in these group homes and other facilities. When it came down to the migrant children, they were separated from their parents, and they were being abused. So it's just horrible. And the children are innocent. They should not be open for predators to do what they want to do with them. This is the way the government is. It's all about the money. They don't care about those children. We need to care about this. We're going to keep resonating our voices. We're going to keep having rallies across the country, encouraging people to do that in their states and let people know we're not going to have that. We want to save these children. Cornelius, he looked forward to be a counselor, I was told. But all that ended when he took his last breath. But I thank the people who came. Reverend Pinkney was co-host, and you really was a TV star as far as the media concerned. They did a nice coverage on you. So I appreciate the people from Kalamazoo. I hope I'm pronouncing her name Magic. She's with MI Liberation. She worked on the caravan, and we went to a juvenile facility on Gulf Road. So basically we know there were people who had actually had experiences themselves when it came down to being restrained or had been in a facility. They shared those stories. And then one lady has shared her story about her grandson. Her name is Lisa. So her grandson was physically assaulted with wounds on his legs. And they claim it was COVID-19, which is those wounds that I saw, the photo of it, those were, that was coming from some kind of a object, you know, with force on it. So now the MDHHS, they had said that they can, no longer can they use restraints anymore. That's a social health, social service organization. They cannot use restraints anymore, and they revoked the license of Sequel. I say that's not enough. Shut them down permanently.
No, but you also know Sequel, they have over 100 facilities across the country.
Oh yeah, I can imagine how much they take in.
Right.
When you add up, probably close to a billion. If you talk about all
right.
the facilities, you know, yeah. So. It's sad because all these various states, you know, Florida, Oregon, you know, we can name a whole lot of have these group homes,
mm-hmm.
and it's all about the money, and so we suffer. I mean, this is the way this country is built, by money. You know, we're suffering with this COVID-19 because of the lack of leadership, and so it's unfortunate because America waited too late to get right on it. And we had 2 million or more cases with COVID-19 in this country. So we're living a different way. We're wearing a mask now, Reverend Pinkney,
mm-hmm.
and shields, our mouth, and gloves. We'll never go back like it was. It's going to be worse. And then we got white supremacists all over the place trying to kill us. So we got the COVID. We got people. We got people in these group homes that's killing the children. You know, you can't even walk the street when they got AK-47s, you know, R-15s, and these police are saying it's okay for these white supremacists to walk around. So how can you take your family members, your children, out, you know, to go to the store, somebody next to you got these weapons and get killed to 30 people or more at a time?
Absolutely.
And yet we walk the street, we'll have a piece of can in our hand or whatever. You know, nothing threatening, or just walk the street, or maybe sleeping in a car, we get attacked. Breonna
mm-hmm.
Taylor was sleeping in her house, and she
Absolutely.
Was killed, you know. And,
yeah.
and so, you know, I can't breathe. We done heard that. George Floyd and others as
mm-hmm.
well said they could not breathe. So we've heard this resonate before. Cornelius said, I can't breathe. How many times you got to hear these voices, where can you imagine trying to breathe when somebody's got their foot on your neck, on your chest, and can care less whether you live
Absolutely.
Or die? The purpose of it is to kill you. And so now, you know what? I'm not a gun person, but guess what? My youngest son, since my oldest son is dead, my youngest son is, he wants me to be trained for a weapon. He says, Mom, because they're out there. They're out there to kill us.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
We can't just roll and play and act like it's not going to exist. I mean, they're at the march.
Mm-hmm.
They're marching across the world, Reverend Pinkney, and they're marching
mm-hmm.
with people that Black Lives Matter. They're walking next to black folks in like they're for us, but no, they're there because Trump said, if they loot, we'll shoot. So this is what they're resonating, you know, so what they're saying out there. So it's all about violence to them. It's not bringing peace. So if you're talking about violence, we got to protect ourselves, Reverend Pinckney. So I get what you're saying. I really get what you're saying. You know, if that mindset wasn't like that for me now, but you got to protect your family. You got to protect yourself. You got to protect your people because they out
there
in numbers. You know, but I appreciate
all right.
You allowed me to speak, but it was very successful. What had went down, we were in front of Lakeside Academy. There were two security guards. So we were there where we were supposed to be. And we were right there in front of the building. No one approached us. There were no police officers. That was everything went well as planned. And the message was out there. The news media was out there. And I want to say this before I hang up. I want to thank Jackie Miller tremendously. She really did a lot of work in contacting folks and media folks and all that, you know, giving me some names, you know what I mean? I call and then communicate with others. I got new friends now. They're part of the movement. This is the movement to protect the young people, Reverend Pinckney.
Amen.
The movement with me was reclaiming your right to help. The racial disparity I talked about when my son died, and I got this group called Reclaim Your Right to Help about the racial disparity. I didn't know about COVID was coming to the United States. I didn't know nothing about it at all. And then here it goes. They talk about racial disparity. Really? I lived that. That's why my son is dead. So we got to save lives, you know, and keep it moving and spread the word that we're not going to tolerate these homes. In fact, I say shut them down permanently. It should be another alternative to have these kids placed somewhere else, a relative or somebody else other than a place where all they think about is the money.
Absolutely.
The
listen,
sign,
I got to let you go.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. All right,
okay.
Then. A good friend, Marcina Cole, did a magnificent job on yesterday with the protest. And this is what we have to do. We have to come together. Your issue is my issue. My issue should be your issue. That's how you come together and fight this monster. I'm going to bring in my good friend Gloria, and then I'm going to go to Lee, and let's see who else. I was looking for Dr. Black. If Dr. Black is on the show, please press 1. And because I promised to get you in, but I have not seen your number, and but we got to move on. Let me bring in my good friend Gloria. Gloria, talk to me.
Well, Reverend Pinckney, as you know, Amy has really cracked the case. She has exposed there's a lot of information out here. Now we need the public to join us and, like, say, hey, we don't want this to go on. That's the only way we're going to be able to stop this is when the public gets aboard. Thank you for
absolutely
listening.
Well, hold on, Gloria. Let me ask you this. How is Amy right now? How's she doing? How is Amy
struggling.
Doing?
She's struggling right now, but she's still researching. She's still digging and searching information. So she needs
would
a doctor.
Would you send me a picture of Amy? I want to see how much weight she lost. I have not. She's supposed to have sent me that picture, but I have not saw it. I would like you to email it to me.
I sent you
one. I didn't get
it. Okay.
Email it to me.
Okay, I'll do it again. I'll do it again.
Okay.
I'll do it several times. I sure will.
Okay, but make sure you email it so that way I know I get it. So
I sure
we
will.
Can deal with that next. And let's keep a close watch on Amy and make sure she, you know, we keep her right there where she needs to be, because I'm really, really concerned about her, and I think that right now the attacks on her by this government, I'm afraid it might take her out if we're not there for her. So we got to remember we don't have a lot of friends because we didn't put our arms around them. But we need to do this to Amy.
Exactly.
Amy, you know, I love her. Yeah. So let's make sure that we're doing all the things we need to do and make sure that she's okay. Thank you so much, Gloria. Let's stay focused. And don't forget to send me that picture, would you please?
I sure will.
All right now. That was my good friend Gloria from beautiful Philadelphia. And now I got to bring in my good friend Lee. Lee from Detroit. Talk to me. Tell me what you want.
How you doing, Reverend Pink? How you doing?
I'm doing great. Just rocking and rolling and rocking, as they say. You know, just trying to stay focused and getting ourselves prepared for this war that we're fighting. That we're not fighting, I should say. You know. So, yeah, tell me what's going on with you.
Well, you know, like I was talking to you through the weekend, over the weekday, you know, I went back to Garden City Hospital and I kind of find out that I was in when I get my medical records. And, you know, I kind of find out that when I was in Garden City Hospital, and because they took me there, because I was like, you know, I'm having chest pain. So they took me from the Inkster jail to there. I'm still lost on why I was even in the Inkster jail if the whole investigation was out of Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was there, the nurse who was seeing me, you know, she said, well, you know, we're going to run some tests, some diagnosis on you. So we're going to draw some of your blood to see, you know, what could be causing your chest pain. So I'm like, okay. You know, when would I get the results back? She said, I don't know. We'll probably have to mail them to you or whatever. Well, move forward to a year later. Something just said, go down there and see what your test results were on your blood draw. Well, I went down there, got my medical records. And to the shock of me, I kind of found out that it was the police that requested to have my blood drawn, not the doctors.
OJ.
Now, check this out. They don't want me to bring none of that out in court. And I'm going to tell you why. Because they can't say, like, well, we had to check his DNA for something. Well, my DNA is already on file from the Michigan Department of Corrections from 2009. I got my whole health, everything that they gave me before I left there. They gave me, they let me know that my DNA was on file, all of that. So why would the Michigan State Police receive a tube of my blood? They can't say, oh, that never happened, because I was walking out, something said, matter of fact, go back in there and record this conversation. And that's exactly what I did. So I walked back into the medical records office at Garden City Hospital, but this time I had the recorder on my phone. And I was like, you know, I got to talking to him about it. And I'm like, so is there a way I could file an FOIA act or anything to find out the results of my blood drawn? She was like, well, no, if the police request it, all we do is draw the blood and hand it straight over to them. I said, so, because the nurse told me that y'all was running tests. The lady explained, she was like, well, you got your medical records. None of our doctors requested your blood. And when she went in there and looked at the computer, because she was the manager of the other lady that was at the receptionist, she said, yeah, we don't even know what agency. We just know that it was police requested. Do you know which agency it was? I said, yeah, it was Michigan State Police. She said, okay, well, maybe they'll have the results. And blew my mind, because I was like, I can't believe this. So, therefore, that lets me know, on top of everything else that I've been telling you, I say, wow, so I'm expecting another case to come about and them to say, well, your DNA was found on your scene now.
Right.
So sooner or later, I'm expecting it to happen. They can't say, like, oh, he's exaggerating. No, I have to record a conversation with me and the record office staff. That's not a made-up conversation. And, you know, when I brought it to my lawyer's attention, he was just like, huh? Even some of the people at the federal courts was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, why would he do that? I was like, hey.
Yeah.
You got to ask y'all people. You got to ask y'all people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I say, thing is, I'm not just one to forget everything that took place. And now I realize it's more fraudulent. So now that means you have the police who can easily pass this my tube of blood. Because I remember the officer that I seen him tucking something in his shirt pocket, but I didn't know what it was. He called himself Troy. When he was tucking it in his shirt pocket, I didn't think that it was a tube of my blood. You ain't thinking that at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that goes to show me, like, so easily one of these CIs can easily go out and do what they normally do, murder somebody, and, hey, sprinkle some of his blood or something on something and leave it on the scene. How do you beat a case like that in court if your DNA is found there?
If your DNA is found at the crime scene, you did it. That's how they look at it. You did
exactly.
it. Even if you have an alibi. Even if you got an alibi, you were somewhere. Well, how did your DNA get to the crime scene? How did
Bingo.
This happen? Yeah, yeah, very much
and,
so.
And that's,
very
that's
much
what
so.
Made me record them.
Because
I knew nobody would believe it.
No, people is not going to believe that. Virtually impossible to believe. And here it goes back to our government. Oh, they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't plant evidence. You know, they're the government. They're here to take care of you, to protect you. Why would they want to plant some DNA somewhere to convict you? Why would they want to use microwave on you? Why would they want to control your mind? This is the mentality that we're dealing with. So we have to stand together. See, this is what people don't get. You know, they don't understand. My issue is your issue, and your issue is my issue. See, if we ever
get that, it could be me today and you tomorrow.
Heads, we can win this thing. We can fight these folks and defeat these people. These people are evil. And here's the bad part. The police, they're not part of them. All they're doing is using them. That's all they're doing.
Oh,
they're using them.
They're pawns in the game.
And people don't. Right. And, you know, cause when it goes down, they're expendable too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They, don't realize
they are expendable. And people don't understand. These are evil, wicked people. You're dealing with an evil empire. You know? And they think that just because some of them think that just because they're white, that they're going to be all right with them. But that's not the case. They're expendable also. It don't make a difference. These folks are just outright evil.
Yes.
So you got to do what you got to do, Lee. You got to do. You got to stand tall and fight this thing because these monsters are coming. They're coming.
Oh yeah, I already know.
And they're using our tax dollars to do it. That's how it operates. So yeah, absolutely. They're using our tax dollars to do this and make this happen. So yeah, listen, you got about 90 seconds to tell us what you want us to know. Then I got to get out of here and talk to me.
Well, one of the things that I am doing, because I'm taking the advice of Sister Belinda Parker Brown, and besides from the last flash drive, I'm actually just putting it all together, and everything I'm speaking of, I'm doing a video of it. Everything that I'm speaking on, you'll be able to see me live on the face talking about it, and I'm showing the full evidence of everything that took place since this arrest, from the drawing of the blood to the fact of how these officers know that their informants is getting away with the murders. They know that, you know, and the thing is how do we keep this guy quiet about it? Because he happens to know it all. He knows the way we operate.
And then it goes back, who are they going to believe, you or them? You know, that's how it operates. You see, they believe law enforcement, the biggest liars there is.
That's why I had to get every piece of evidence that I got from even talking to people on the streets. You know, I'm talking about going into the neighborhoods like, hey, you remember this situation that took place? They was like, yeah, you know. These guys did it, but of course, you know, ain't nothing gonna happen to them because we don't realize they all working for the police.
Every last
one. So it ain't something that I just know. The whole dang old community knows it.
Absolutely. And on that note, they are the enemy of liberty. The enemy of liberty is war. And we're at war, whether we like it or not. On that note, Lee, We have just ran out of time. And I will talk to you all next week. Same time, same station. Talk to you soon.